Go back to Pasuk Gimel. It's on page 815. On page 815, Pasuk Gimel in the Radak Pasuk says, "Kol Yibilas Adartam, Chaskam V'Sakvam V'Sifartam." You will hear; it will be heard in the city the sound, the cry of the leaders regarding the pain of losing their splendor. What is their splendor? Chaskam V'Sakvam V'Sifartam. Uperish Pasuk Kitargumai Kol Tzivchas Malchaya. The cry of the kings, Arei is bezizu mochoy zehoin, because their possessions, their abode has been plundered. Kol ni ha mashoin, the sound of their cry is equivalent kivnei ar yovan, like the sound of a lion. Kad yivesh alehoin rum yarduna, the sound like the people of the kivnei ar yovan, like the people of the, like the sound of a lion, the sound of the children of an Aryavon, kad when yivesh alehoin rum yarduna, when it dries up upon them the might of the Yardain. I'm not sure what that means. The Goin Hayardain. The Goin Hayardain, he's translating over here, is yivesh. Yivesh kishudad, when they no longer have water. Okay, when it seems like that if a lion, it needs a lot of water. And if there's no water, then it's in a lot of pain and it cries. If a lion is lacking water, the sound of the roar of the children of the lion, when the rum yarduna, the exaltedness of the yardin dries up. Okay, maybe we'll see more. Let's go further. Rabbi Seinu Zal, Perishu, HaParsha, Al Churban Hasheni, we learned this before, the Chazal understand this pasuk to refer to the Churban Hasheni. Ulvanon hu beis hamikdash, and the word Ulvanon refers to beis hamikdash. V'yamru ki arboim shana kodim hakubim beis habayis hayudal sois hahechol niftachas me'alehen. We learned this before, that 40 years preceding the Churban Hamikdash, the doors of the beis hamikdash miraculously opened up by themselves every single morning. And goar bohem Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, we spent time discussing this when we learned this to Maimon Chazal and Rashi. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would shout, "Omar loy," he said, "loy to it." What's the it? The it over here are the doors. Heichol, heichol, admosai atom avis atzmucha. Why are you terrifying yourself? This is a euphemism. He really meant to say, why are you terrifying us? But he did not want to be moitzi piv l'satan, so he changed the expression. Instead of saying, why are you terrifying us? He said, why are you terrifying yourself? Yodeani shesayfcha, we already know this. We already know that you're going to be destroyed. And we discussed this last 2 days ago. Don't rub it in. You know what the Gra says in the Megillah? Makas hereg v'cheref. Know that you wouldn't believe what I'm going to tell you. What the Gra says, makas hereg means to stab the enemy with your knife. Stab him. Makas cherev hereg. There are two words. The first word means to stab, and the second word means to turn the knife, to turn it, to rub it in. Don't just kill your enemy. Rub it in. They deserve it. They deserve it. You kill them, but kill them in a way that they should feel the pain.
That's what we call twisting the knife.
Twisting the knife? What does that mean, twisting the knife?
Well, that's an expression. You don't just stab, you twist the knife.
Oh, twist the knife. So here he's saying over here to the doors, listen here, we know what's coming. We know the future. Zechariah taught us what's going to happen. There's no need for you to remind us. You don't have to open the doors every single day for 40 years. You can open up the doors on the last day of the 40 years, but until then, you can keep the doors closed and not rub it in. Now, this concludes the Malbim. Now, let's take a look at the Radak. Now, let's go back and learn the Malbim. Back to the Malbim, back on the previous page, on page 813. We're going to start again. Pass 4. Mitzudois, Rashi, Radak, pass 4, the Malbim. Pesach, Achar, Shenibe, Al Hagula Hoasida Rob Machazem Mashi Ose Bai Sheni Shemize Ro Shagula Zo Ena Hagula is not the Gula Hoasida. Okay, so the Radak, so is not like the Radak. The Radak, when he started to understand, interpret these psukim, he told us that the primary pshat is a reference to the Chashmonoyim, that the Chashmonoyim, their malchus will come to an end. And they were illegitimate to a degree because the Malchus belongs to Shevet Yehuda, not to Shevet Levi, and they should have given it up, And at the end, anyway, they would lose their malchus. That's how he starts off the Radak. But he is different than all of the other commentators. And he himself, the Radak himself, actually says at the end that no, we can interpret this psukim not in reference to the Jewish kings of the Chashmonoim. We're going to interpret this as reference to Yemos HaMashiach. I'm sorry, in reference to the 420 years from them, the Bai Shem, the Chum Bai, the Chum, sorry?
Did anyone else just get bounced off Zoom for a second? Okay.
Well, they have to come back and tell us they got bounced. But he understands this in reference to the Churban Bayis Sheni and Zechariah.
You're the only one who disagrees. You know, the Eben Ezra disagrees, and what the Abarbanel keeps on mentioning, he says, we all know the Eben Ezra, he's an action.
The Eben Ezra?
That's what the Abarbanel says about the Eben Ezra. He said, Nishar b'akshona shalom.
Woo! Wow. Okay, but see, it's not just the Eben Ezra, it was also the Radak. The Ibn Ezra says,
you know, there was a point when he was talking about the Hashmonaim, but not here.
Right. Okay. So again, the Radak, he starts off interpreting these psukim in reference to the Hashmonaim, and the Ibn Ezra does so as well. But the Malbim, right off the bat, from the beginning, he says that we're discussing the Churban Bayis Sheni. Further, and what does he go on to say? He says over here, now on page 815, I'm on page 815 on the top line. Usachila roa shabayis hazeh osel lecharev. So he saw in the nevuah that the bayis would be destroyed. The Amar el hamigdash atol levanon psach delosecha sheikansu sham gedudei groimei. That indeed, he's saying, he's giving instruction, open up your doors, allow the enemy to enter, this will indeed happen. The eish toichal ba'arozecha, lahachriv v'lishroif esabayis, and let the fire enter and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Now, I want to suggest to you a pshat, and I think really Rashi, someone over here alluded to it, and that is, Zechariah over here, by saying these words, it almost appears as cursing the Jewish people. He's saying, levanon, Beis HaMikdash, open up your doors. Do it. I command you. Let the fire enter. Let the enemy enter and destroy you. How could Zechariah curse the Jewish people? What is he doing? So the answer is, Mizmar La'asaf, very famous Chazal, every Darshan on Tisha B'Av will mention this, is why did Asaf, when he described in Tehillim, the Churban Bayis, did he use the term Mizmar, a psalm, a song? It's a kina. The Pasuk should say kina le'asaf. And the answer is, it's a Mizmar. Because Hashem, if it really should have destroyed the Jewish people, he should have completely finished us off. There would be no survivors. But instead, Hashem had rachmanis upon us, and instead of pouring out his anger upon us, he poured out his anger on bricks and wood, stone and wood. And by releasing his anger upon its structure, that enabled us to survive and live another day. But really, we don't deserve that. We don't deserve to survive another day. Really, Hashem should have poured out his anger upon us. And the goyim will come, they'll make the Beis HaMikdash into a bank. Or make the Beis HaMikdash into a clothing store, a 99-cent store, into an office space. Remember on Avenue J, there used to be a movie theater? What's it today, the movie theater? It's office
it's
space.
An empty store. It used to be a Payless.
Then, that's part. Part of it is Payless. Then now there's also a doctor's office,
an
optometrist. There are a lot of different stores. So that's what would have become of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, we would have been destroyed. They would have come into Eretz Yisrael. They would have taken over the entire country. They would go and it would become a nice tourist attraction. And maybe they would have some. They would show.
What? I think B'nai Yosef or B'nai Kairach, right?
I don't remember. I don't know.
So they were happy every time there was
a churban
about Israel, because they said, see?
We told you so. We told you so. It's a very dark interpretation of the Pasuk. Chazal don't say that. Chazal say, Mizmar la'asaf, kina la'asaf imbo'ilay. And the answer is, it's a Mizmar, because really we deserve that Hashem should have poured out his anger upon us, and we would no longer exist, but instead Hashem poured out his anger on the land, and on the Beis HaMikdash, his holy abode, and he spared us. Why would Hashem want to do that? Why would Hashem want to show us rachamim? It has to be somebody davened for us. Somebody prayed for us. Who prayed for us? Zechariah. Zechariah is davening. Zechariah is saying, Hashem, I see the future. I see that they are not deserving to survive. Do me a favor, Hashem. Don't pour out your anger upon them. Pour out your anger upon destruction. And that's this is his prayer. Mizma, this is the prayer. Psach delosecha. I ask you, Mikdash, open your doors. Let the anger be directed upon the structure, not upon the people. Chazal tell us in Parshas, in the Toichacha, the very last thing Hashem wants to do is to sell us into slavery. There's an entire process. When Hashem is not happy with a person's behavior, He sends him signs. He suffers a loss of money, loss of property, a loss. Losses that are replaceable, that are not important, to wake up the person to do teshuva. And if the person, chas v'shalom, does not get the message, then he can be. Then his body is afflicted. He can get saras. He can have health issues. And then he can have issues of being sold as a slave. It's a process. And here we have to understand that the beginning of this parak, where Zechariah says a very harsh words, he gives a command. It's not a curse. It is a prayer. Don't pour out your anger upon the people. Let the anger be poured out upon the structure. Pesach levanon de lasecha, v'soichal esh ba'arozecha, not upon the people. Next words of the Malbim. Pasuk beis, helil b'roish, ha'b'roish hu gam min kein min erez u'pachus mimenu. The b'roish is a variety of the cedar, but it's not as strong. It's more vulnerable to fire and to destruction. The Ho'aloin, the third tree mentioned in this pasuk, is the aloin, which is the weakest of the three. Hupachos mishnehem yoimar. The pasuk here means to say shehabaroish ye lil. The baroish, the weakest of the baroish, which is the second weakest, ye lil, will cry. Ki nafal eres hagodol menu. It's superior. The imoy adirim shu dadu, the mighty have been plundered. V'hu nefilas hamelech u'mishneyu, v'royei p'nei hamelech. This is symbolic of the king has collapsed, and his assistants, and all of the people, his cabinet members. V'achakach helilu aloinei v'ashoan shayim hasorim. Then comes the next level, the princes. Ki yorad yar habotzir yar hechazok shehem hagiborim yardu v'nafalu. The forest that's mighty, which represents the other Gibarim, they have fallen and collapsed. In other words, just like we've been saying all along, all the different types of different objects mentioned in these psukim refer to different levels of leadership. There's a hierarchy. Every government has a hierarchy, and all the different levels of leadership have faltered, collapsed, crumbled, and there's nothing left. Pasuk Gimel, kol achakach nishma kol gilas harayim. So he's over here explaining over here, very important. Over here, he's saying over here is to hear. He's adding in a word. Everyone has to add a word into this pasuk. When it says koil yelilas horoyim, it means to say it will be heard. Nishma, it will be heard in society. The sound. Excuse me.
Who are the right?
The shepherds. So it's represents leaders. Leaders, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, depending on the era. If we are understanding these psukim reference to the Chumash Sheni, then the shepherds refer to a leaders of the Jewish people. And there are many different types of leaders. There are kings, political leaders, there are spiritual leaders, there are lay leaders, all the different types of leaders. That's why there are so many psukim over here. We have the Beroish, the Erez, the Aloin, and now we have the Royim, the shepherds. All these are different forms of leaders which will cease to exist. When there is no leadership, then we have no hope. The most important thing that a society needs is leadership. You need money and leadership, values. Kol achak nishma kol yilas haroyim sheim hasanhedrin. He, the Malbim, no one else said this. He learns that the shepherds refer to specifically the Sanhedrin. Ki shududo adartam v'sifartam, their splendor has been ceased to exist. V'kol shagas kefirim sheim haparitzim. The paritzim Hagibarim, the military, the army, the people who defended the city, they ceased to exist. Kishudat Goin Hayardain, Shumakoim Ho Arroyois. The Goin Hayardain, he learns, is a certain region of the Yardin where lions hang out. This is their territory. Okay, it's their zone. And you don't go in there. Like I watched a clip yesterday of Floyd, of the Floyd zone, where a reporter came and these people who, I don't know if they were people or they were animals, they came and they said, "You don't want to go here. It's not going to be good if you come close. We're gonna. Can you imagine America? There is a zone in America where there is the mufka from authority, the police, military, the state police, local police, city police, federal, not allowed to go there. And the government stays away. They stay away. A person was shot. No one came to rescue the person. They called 911. Someone is dying. Send in an ambulance. Police didn't go. No, we don't go into that. We don't go there. We don't go into that zone. We don't go into that zone. So in the Yardain, there is a zone in the Yardain where you don't enter. This is the territory of the lions. And the lions don't want intruders. And anyone who comes into their zone will be devoured. And this represents Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, it's Eretz Yisrael, is their zone. No one, in a good way, no enemies, no apikorsim come into this area.
There are places in New York like that. Seagate used to be a hangout for all the criminals, and cops would never go in there.
In Eretz Yisrael, there's a certain part, I'm not going to tell you all the Lashon Hara, but Meir knows all the details very well. There's a certain part where there are a lot of weddings during Corona. A lot of weddings. Why? The police don't go in there. The police are afraid. They're afraid to enter that zone. So that zone, if you want to do something illegal, that's where you go. Because the police wouldn't step over the line. It's a lawless section, territory in Eretz Yisrael. The police know better. So people who wanted to make weddings illegally, that's where they misbehaved. Next, Kishudad Goin Hayardein Shumakoim Ho Arroyos V'Moshel El Kivishas Kol Ori Mifzar. Even Eretz Yisrael, this is a Moshel Klal Yisrael. They it's their territory, it's their Mokoim. You don't start up with Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, but the time will come, unfortunately, the Bayis Sheni, when even this zone will be demilitarized. And the enemy will enter and conquer. Now, by the way, it says that according to the Sanhedrin, this is what I find to be very chaviv. This idea. It says here in the Malbim that the royim refer to the shepherds. The shepherds will be no longer. What do the shepherds refer to? What is the meaning of this metaphor, shepherds? It means the Sanhedrin. In Kina, and the Kina is on Tisha B'Av, we read. In the Kina of Kina Tes Zayin, Zechor Asher Osa Tsar Bifanin, where it describes exactly what happened at the time of the Churban. It's a historical record of exactly what happened when Titus came and conquered the Beis Hamikdash. And it says there's something very bizarre that in the morning when they woke up in the morning. And they came into the Beis HaMikdash, the 93 Kalim were no longer, were absent. What does that mean, the 93 Kalim were absent? Says this in the Kina, Kina Tes Zayin, one of the most popular Kinois, Zohar Eis Asher Osa Tsar Befinim. Remember what the enemy did inside of the Heichel, inside the Beis HaMikdash. And it describes Titus HaRosha. He came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He stabbed it. Blood came gushing out from the Paroiches of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He went inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He laid out a Sefer Torah. And he did an Avera upon the Sefer Torah. And it describes other things that he did. And one of the things that it says in that Kina is that in the morning, the 93 Kalim were absent. So if you look in the commentators, they will tell you, they will connect this to a Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi, it counts that every single day in the Beis HaMikdash, they needed exactly 93 utensils. You need 93 utensils to bring the basic skeleton korbanos of an ordinary day. Every day, you have to bring the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Ben Harboyim, and you have to bring the Ketores, and they light the Menorah, and the Kohen Gadol has to bring the Minchas Chavitin in the morning and the afternoon. I do not know the exact calculation, but if you make a calculation, the basic elementary korbanos that are offered every single day, the minimum, requires a grand total of 93 utensils. And we once learned this long time ago in Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah, the name of Hashem appears exactly 93 times. So the commentators there, I think it's Yerushalmi, says the reason why there were 93 kelim is to correspond to the 93 times Hashem's name appears in together in Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah, because those psukim are describing the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So it says here, it says that in the Kina, when they came in, the 93 kelim were gone, which in essence is saying is the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash came to an end. They needed 93 kelim to serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, no bowls to collect the blood, and bowls to have flour and oil and the nesachim. You need to pour nesachim on the mizbeach. You need to make the minchas, the mincha that accompanies the carbon tamid, and the Kohen Gadol needs to make a mincha every day to divide into two. Those are the basic kelim that were used every single day to bring korbanos. That's the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. And when they came into the Beis HaMikdash that day, the Mikdash ceased to function, and the 93 kelim are no longer. It's a symbolic way of saying it all came to an end. However, there's another pshat. And the other pshat is, in the Beis HaMikdash, there were two separate groups, two Sanhedrins. There was the Sanhedrin HaGodol that sat in the Lishkas HaGozes, and there was the Sanhedrin Ketana that sat in the Harabayas, right outside of the entrance into the Shar Nikanor. I'm sorry, not Shar Nikanor, right outside the Ezras Noshim on the Har Habayis. It says Beferish in the Mishnah, there was a Sanhedrin Ketana, a Sanhedrin of 23 judges. So on the Har Habayis, in total, how many Dayanim, judges, came to work every single day in the Har Habayis? How many ID passes did the security department of the Beis HaMikdash have to issue for the Sanhedrin? 93. The Sanhedrin HaGodol that sat in the Lishkas HaGozes had how many members? 70 members. How many members are there in the Sanhedrin Ketana that sat on the Har Habayis, right in front of the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash? 23. So, if I'm not mistaken, I think back in the olden days, I used to learn how to add numbers. 70 plus 23 is 93. They woke up in the morning, that fateful day, when Titus HaRasha came into the Beis HaMikdash, and lo and behold, the 93 kelim are no longer. Who are the 93 kelim? The 93 members of the Sanhedrin. A human being is a kli sharis. There is no greater holy utensil in this world than a human being. A person is made from a kli charis. He's made from earth and water, and he's formed and fashioned into a magnificent utensil that is a receptacle to receive Hashem's divine presence and to learn, teach, and serve. A human being is the ultimate kli sharis. And on that horrific day, when Titus HaRasha came in, desecrated the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash, it put an end to everything. And what is everything? The Sanhedrin. The 93 holy Dayanim, who are the holy clay shares, they cease to be. And the Malbim touches upon that. The Malbim is telling us Ulvanoin, Beis HaMikdash, open your doors. Let the fire enter and burn the cedars. Arze HaLavanon Adire HaTayra. They are called the Arze HaLavanon. And here he goes on to say explicitly, the shepherds, Koil Yililas Horoyim, Kishudida Adartan, the sound of the Sanhedrin, their cry is heard, because their stronghold, their precious Mokoim, has been plundered. Next, Pasik, that's it. Okay, so he again learns Kishudat Goin Hayardain, refers to, I'm sorry, the word of Yar HaBotzir, the Yad Botzir. He also says, like everyone else, it means a fortress. The Radak, to me, the one that gets the gold medal is the, what we learned yesterday, is the Radak, who said the word Botzir means grapes. I like that pshat the best. And it's nothing more than an expression. The Yar HaBotzir is a term that literally makes no sense, just like to say that the White House issued a statement is nonsense. Literally, it's an expression. The Yar HaBotzir means the economy, the material blessing of the land. V'hisig lochem dayish es botzir. The word botzir is nothing more than a code word to play a game with our mind, word association. When you say the word botzir, you think about the blessing of the brachos that preceded the Teichacha and Parash Bechukosai, the Yisig Lechem Dayish Es Botzir, and the pasuk here concludes that the economy, the successful economy of the land has perished, has crumbled. The Malbim, who is, you know, the Malbim is out of the box. But here, he didn't go down that path. The Malbim went down the ordinary path of all the other commentators and just fudged it. He fudged it and he said, no, the word HaBotzir is similar enough to the word Mivtzar, and it means the fortress of the forest has now been defeated. All right, now let's take a look over here. You see, even in the Be'er HaMilos, the Malbim says Yar HaBotzir Hechazok VeHame Vutzar. He doesn't want to go with the other pshat. Okay, so that concludes our fourth pass. Now we're up to pass five. The Yotzesi, the Yitzalti, the Gualti, the Kachti, the Hevesi. Now we're going to look over here at the Likutei Shas to learn these words of the Pasuk in a more midrashic fashion. From the Mamari Chazal that were collected by the editor of this edition, whoever that person may be, we have to meet him. We have to one day get a hold of the person who put this together, bring him here to the shul, sit him down, tie him down, chain him down to the chair, and interrogate him. And thank him for his good work over here in providing us all these Mamari Chazal. Here we go. Now going back to page.
I don't know. The Likutei Shas doesn't mention about why it's called Levanon Eretz Yisrael. It says Shemal B'nei, what do you call it? Shemal B'nei Yisrael Barabim.
He doesn't say that one. Let's see. Let's take a look. Let's go through.
No, I didn't look.
Let's take a look. Let's go look over here. Aleph on page over here, page 814. Let's see the Mamari Chazal as they relate to these three psukim. The pasuk begins. Pesach Levanon. The first thing, the last 40 years, the Bayis Sheni. Every year, what do you do on Yom Kippurim? There is a goyrol. There are the Shnei Asi'irim. Sorechol Hashem v'so'erechol Azazel. Every single year when they took the goyrol, the right hand, the right side, the girl, when the girl, they had a box. In the box, there were two plates. And on one plate of metal, it said, La Hashem. And on the other plate of metal, it said, La Azazel. And they would be mixed up, like you see in the lottery. You know, they mix it up. these two plates, and they would be put into this box, and the Kohen Gadol would put his two hands into the box and randomly pick up one plate with the left hand and one plate with the right hand. And he picked it up, and he put in front of him the two animals. There was an animal on the left and an animal on the right. And he would close his eyes, put his hands into the box, randomly take out one plate with his right hand, one plate with the left hand, blindfold. He doesn't know what he's picking up. They're mixed up. He doesn't know which one, upon which plate it says La Hashem, and on which plate it says La Azazel. And he would pick it up, and he would basically put down one plate on animal on the right side, and animal the other plate on the animal on the left side. And every single year, for 380 years, it was a miracle. It was always the same. The animal on the right side said La Hashem, and the animal on the left side, it always fell out that the gold plate that said La Azazel. So you have the two Seirim. They look like they're twins, and one animal La Hashem will be slaughtered, and its blood will enter the Kodesh HaKodashim, and the animal on the left, it will be taken, given to the Ish Iti Hamidbara to be delivered to the desert and thrown off the cliff, carrying upon it the sins of the Jewish people. This is a good sign, because the right represents Rachamim. If the animal on the right, if it is the recipient of La Hashem, and the animal on the left is the recipient of the La Azazel, this is a good simon. And that's how it always happened for 380 years. Statistically, it is impossible. But that's what happened, because it was B'Hashkocha Pratis. The last 40 years, it was just the opposite. The left side, it said La Hashem, and the right side, it said La Azazel. And that means it's a bad sign. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Hashem was speaking to Klal Yisrael through the Goyrol, and was telling them, you better shape up or ship out. And this occurred, again, it's statistically impossible that for 40 years, consistently, it was always the La Hashem always came out on the left side. It was a sign from Shemayim that trouble is coming. That's number one. Number two, V'lohoya Lashon Shel Zohiris Malbin. Zohiris means red. We learned that this week. Toila'ah Shani. A dye, wool dyed Zohiris. What is Zohiris? Red. What did they do every year? They took a tongue of wool and they split it into two. And they put one portion on the neck. They tied it to the Azazel, the animal that would be thrown off the cliff. And the other half of the tongue of wool, they tied to the gate of, I'm not sure what it says, the gate of Yerushalayim or the gate of the Beis HaMikdash. And everyone would stare at the tongue, and it was dyed red, and they would stare at the tongue of wool that was tied to the gate, and let's say it's the gate of the Beis HaMikdash. And usually at the time when they threw the animal, the moment when they threw the animal Lazazel off the cliff, miraculously the other half of that tongue of wool that was tied to the gate would turn white. And this was the simon that Hashem has forgiven Klal Yisrael. But the last 40 years, the tongue of wool, the half of that tongue of wool that was tied to the gate of the Beis HaMikdash, did not turn white. And that was a bad sign. It was a terrifying sign. V'lohoye l'shon shel Zohiris Malbin. Next. V'lohoye ner maravi dolek yoser meho acherim. Miracle number three is that the Ne'emar Ravi did not last for 24 hours. In the first 380 years of the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Sheni, every single night, they only put enough oil in the menorah to last 12 hours. And miraculously, the Ne'er lasted for 24 hours. In other words, the miracle of Chanukah happened in the Beis HaMikdash every single day. Chanukah is not a miracle that happened one time. Hanukkah is just a reminder of the miracle that occurred every single day when there was the Beis HaMikdash. They only put in enough oil to last for 12 hours, and it lasted the entire day. This miracle came to an end in the last 40 years of the Bayis Shem. Next, here's the part that we need for our discussion. And the doors opened. Ad shegohar bochen Rebbe Yechon ben Zakkai amaloi hechol mebnei mo ato machvis mafchid atzmecha yodeni b'cha shesefchol asil lecharev uchvar nesnabi olecha zchay ben idoy besach levonon delasecha v'sechol esh ba'arozecha amar Rebbe Yitzchak ben Tavlai lama nikra shmoy levonon Rebbe Mayevsky. Here it is. Here are the words that you're referring to. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called with the term levonon? Shemalbin it whitens the sins of the Jewish people. I just want to make a very simple point. Over here, the Gemara presents for us four miracles, four simonim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai only got worked up over the last one. Why didn't he get worked up over the first three? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to the doors, what are you doing? Why are you opening up this? Why are you opening up the doors? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he saw that the Ner Maravi was extinguished when the Lashon Shel Zohiris did not turn white, when the Goyrol came out on the left side, he didn't get worked up. He only got worked up when the doors opened. Now the answer is very simple, because the doors opening up is not a natural thing. The other three things were bonuses that we anyway did not deserve. We didn't deserve a miracle that the Ner Maravi should last 24 hours. We didn't deserve a miracle that every single year we should beat the odds and the Goral HaHashem should come up on the right side. We didn't deserve a miracle that the Zohiris should turn white. These were bonuses. These are not natural things that happened for 380 years. When you lose your bonus, you know, you can't complain. You don't have no right to complain. You didn't deserve it to begin with. But when you're getting abuse, it's not just I'm not getting my bonus. The doors of the Beis HaMikdash are miraculously opening up every morning on their own. That's not supposed to happen. That's abuse. That's not natural. So then, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, I'm not going to accept this. This is a Musa Haskel in life. There are people in life, I know someone in my family, had a very, very good job. A very good job for many, many years. He was very well paid. Not only that, they gave him a team of assistants, people to help him. To assist him in different functions. They were very nice to him, gave him vacation. And then, slowly, they got nasty. He claims it was anti-Semitism. I don't know the details. I really know the details. But he claims it was anti-Semitism. And one day, you know, you don't need three assistants. You'll give you one, as one is enough. You know, you have to be giving you too many days off for the holidays. We can't give you so many days off. If you want to take a day off, you're not going to get paid for that time. You don't even need any assistance altogether. One thing. All of the things they did to him, he couldn't argue with. Because the truth was, he didn't deserve these bonuses anyway. And when they started taking away his bonuses, he's happy he has a job. But then, they started to abuse him. They started to do things to make his life miserable, to get nasty, to push him out. So, now he's starting to abuse me. You are harassing me. You are committing crimes. Oh, now I can open my mouth. Now I can sue you. Now I can go to the authorities. I can go up the ladder. But until that point in time, even though they were squeezing him. They were taking away benefits. There was nothing he can do. Because they can argue, you don't deserve these benefits. That's not part of the job. That's not the job. We were nice to you. We gave you bonuses, perks. But you don't want the job, so don't quit. We're not doing anything to you. That's the Musa Haskel over here in this Maimah Chazal. For the last 40 years of the Beis HaMikdash, there were four major changes. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai only got worked up regarding the last one, when the doors began to miraculously open every single morning. But he did not get worked up regarding the Lashon Shel Zohiris, regarding the Menorah, and regarding the Goyrol of Yom Kippurim, because those things we anyway didn't deserve. Those were bonuses. But when things are beginning to happen lamala miderech hateva, to our detriment, to terrify us, then he has a right to complain, excuse me, we're not going to take this abuse. Don't terrify us by opening up the doors every single morning to remind us that our days are numbered. Just because a person is dying, you know, you don't see in the hospital, you don't see in a hospice. A hospice means it's over, right? Isn't that what it means, a hospice? Right? You don't see in the hospice people coming around, you're going to die, you're going to die, counting down the minutes. We have over here the people from the funeral chapel, they can't wait already. They're waiting to take you away. You don't do that. Just because the person, Rahman al-Sam, is a very bad matzav, you don't go and rub it in. But bonuses, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did not argue with the fact that the bonuses were being denied. Next, Maimon Chazal. Here we go to the next thing, is Kevon Sheshama Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Shehachrives Yushalayim. Now, it's the same Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. When he obviously he left, we know the story that he left. He tried to save the Jewish people, then there was a siege. And he wanted to go talk to the Kesar. He wanted to speak to the Kesar to somehow persuade him not to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the Hegemon, not the Kesar, the Hegemon, whatever. I forget all the different titles, the person in charge. He wanted to persuade him not. So what did he do? He had this whole technique. He made believe that he died. He feigned death. And he told this Talmidim, you're going to take me out of the city, because even during this time of the siege, they still allowed the dead to leave. They allowed the dead to leave Yerushalayim. So he made believe that he died, and his students carried him out in a coffin, and the Romans opened the gates to allow the coffin to exit. They wanted to stab the coffin, they wanted to shake the coffin, and the Talmidim were very clever in convincing the Romans not to do that. He escaped. They opened up the coffin, and he came out of the coffin, and he had a meeting with whoever's in charge, the Hegemon, the Kesar, and he said, okay, what do you want? Tain li Yavne v'chachomel. Give me Yavne v'chachomel. This Gemara, I heard many shiurim on this piece of Gemara, when I used to listen to shiurim in the car, on the tapes, and I think Rabbi J.J. Schachter, no relation to the vaccine. Rabbi J.J. Schachter, He gave a very good shiur. It still sticks in my memory, where he said that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, certainly for the rest of his life, must have been haunted with the reality that he did not ask for Yerushalayim. What would have happened if Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would have said, "Do me a favor, don't destroy Yerushalayim"? Would the Kesar have listened? He had his ear. We don't know that. The Gemara challenges him. Why didn't he ask? In the big picture of things, he asked for something very minor. Tein li Yavne v'chachomeh. It's an accomplishment, but that's very, very minor relative to maybe being able to save the whole Yerushalayim, or maybe there are other, we don't know all the details, but there are other things that he could have asked for. on a much larger scale.
But it's obvious.
So the Gemara asked the question. The Gemara says, Tofasta meruba loy tofasta. Tofasta mua tofasta. Whenever you have a dilemma in life, don't try to chap too much. Because if you fail, you'll have nothing. If you'll ask for something small, you'll get it. But maybe...
He was talking to the Kesar.
Right.
He knew and understood more than the anybody
Gemara,
else.
But the Gemara
and
does...
In his wisdom, he perceived clearly what he could or could not
so
ask.
You're saying a very big chiddush. Mordechai Binstak over here, behind my glass wall, is telling me that Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai did not lose a night's sleep over this. Because he clearly, clearly understood that this was the most he can get. But the Gemara doesn't understand it like that. The simple reading of the Gemara seems to indicate that Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai himself really, honestly did not know. Did not know. It could very well be that had he asked for something more, he would have gotten it. Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai himself did not know. And it was a calculated risk. And he sided with asking for something small. And there are
yeah,
this was
second,
the,
back,
this,
second doubts about it. Yeah.
This was the whole drush of he presented in incredibly powerful terms. Still makes an impression upon me many years later from Rabbi Shachter. And he said, he's read the Gemara and he goes to all the Mepharshim. And he says, basically, is that there had to be other Gedolei Yisrael at the time in that generation that had a complaint, a very legitimate complaint against Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai. You should have taken the risk. You should have taken a risk. Look at Esther Hamalka. You know, you can debate this. You can talk about this in the Holocaust and every crisis. Look, even Corona this last year. There are many. Everyone. There's not a person here that did not have a dilemma what to do in certain situations. Should you go to shul? Should you go to a simcha? Should you go here? Should you go there? Should you take the mail into the house? Maybe the mail is contaminated. So you let the delivery man bring... There's not a person here that doesn't have a dilemma what to do at some point in time. And many people had dilemmas every single day. Very serious dilemmas how to deal with dangerous situations. So there were people in the generation that had legitimate complaints that you really... If we were in your shoes, we would have gambled for more.
Who says it's legitimate complaints? It's a complaint. That's human nature. People like to complain.
Everyone in their eyes. You're right. I don't mean it that it's absolutely legitimate. I mean, in the eyes of the people who disagreed, in their own eyes, they would have acted differently. If they were in his shoes, they claim that they would have asked for more.
He was good, although he was Rabban.
Okay, so this touches, right.
He
so,
was the wisest, smartest.
So this touches upon Hashkafa. It touches upon Ruach HaKodesh. You go to a tzaddik and you ask him a question. Should I do the surgery? Should I not do the surgery? There are advantages. There are dangers. Advantages, disadvantages. What does the Gadol know about medicine? What does he know about medicine? He doesn't know anything about medicine. Why are you going to ask him the question? What are you asking the question? Because the answer is, you don't know anything about medicine either. And the doctor doesn't know. The doctor says, do it. It's not a question. It's a question of flip a coin. Many areas of life. And many times people go to tzaddikim. The tzaddikim tell you, listen, I don't know. I don't know the science. And the doctor is telling you, I don't know. I'll just tell you my feeling. And many people, they want to go to a holy person. They feel a holy person is connected to Hashem. And Hashem will give them siyata d'shmaya to guide you, to help you make a decision. Sometimes they'll tell you something, they're not going to tell you, but at least in what they say to you, it's a siyata d'shmaya because of their holiness and their connection to Hashem. So Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai was a very holy person. He has siyata d'shmaya. If he was under pressure at that moment what to do, we have to assume that he had the proper siyata d'shmaya to ask the right question, to make the right decision. But can you prove it was the right decision? You can't prove it. Look in the Holocaust. How many stories are there where people went to Rabbanim to ask them, should we flee or should we stay? What should we do? What should we do? Where should we go? We have an opportunity now to leave. Should we run away or should we stay? If we run away, they'll kill us on the road. Who knows what will happen to us? If we stay, we might die over here. And no one knows what to do. So why do you think that this Godol knows better? That's Judaism. You hope that he's a holy person. Hashem will channel through him a thought. What to do? Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung. Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung, he was nifter not that long ago. His he was a rav, a very big Talmud Chacham, very chashva Talmud Chacham in Canada, and he has a diary, and they
Montreal,
they printed his diary, fascinating diary about what happened in the Holocaust, and basically a chunk of his diary is all about this, is about what to do. He went to Chaim Oizer. And Rav Chaim Oizer, I think Rav Chaim Oizer told him, he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know, should you run, should you not? He told him to go to this Rav, go to that Rav. There's a lot of stories where people came with just in a daze. They were running here and there. And when they found people who ran to this city, they were killed. They ran to this, they were not killed. No one knew what to do. And it was a very big dilemma. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he took a gamble. He made a decision, and by J.J. Schachter, he spoke about all the different mefarshim on this topic, and what would have been, could have, should have, would have, no one knows, and that's not a healthy thing. It's not a healthy thing to go question, to look back in the past, what could have, would have, should have. It's not a healthy thing. But here, in our example, we have here. Okay, we have over here, let's go back to our pasuk. Kishudad go'in hayardin. Okay, we're going back into the Maimon Chazal. Going back over here, we're in the middle of the Maimon Chazal, where we're discussing of Yochanan and Zakkai. Okay, that's what we're up to over here right now, in the middle of this discussion. On page over here is 814. 814, the second wide line. Kevan, so I was telling you all the whole story of Yochanan and Zakkai. He escaped Yerushalayim. He met up with the Kesar. He asked him, do me a favor. Save Yavne. The Kesar says your wish is granted. But the Kesar proceeded to destroy Yerushalayim. Where was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Well, he was on the outside, so he escaped. Kevon Sheshama Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai Shehechariv Es Yerushalayim V'soraf Es Beis HaMikdash Bo'esh Kara Begodav, he ripped his clothing. V'karu Talmidav Es Begdehem. They were crying, they were screaming, and they were eulogizing. It says in the pasuk, what did they say? Pesach levanon delosecha. What does the word levanon refer to? Zebes hamikdash. V'soichal eish shel oilam heichol maftechois shemosar tolanu. I'm sorry. Elu koyhanim gidoylim shahoyu b'mikdash shayunoytlim mafte choyson biyadon v'zorkin klape ma'ala. The koyhanim, they took the keys to the Beis HaMikdash, they went to the roof, and they threw the keys to Shemayim. V'oymrim lufnei hakadosh baruch hu riboynoi shel olam heichol mafte choysecho shemosar tulanu, the keys to the Heichel that you have entrusted to us. Hoyel, v'lo hayinu gizborim ne'emonim, la'asos melechas ha'melech v'lechel mishulchan ha'melech. We have been unfaithful, and the Mikdash is now about to be destroyed. And obviously you are not satisfied with our service, because you are taking away the Mikdash. We have not been good servants. Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, u'shneim osor shvatim. So what do they do? So it says they returned the keys. Let me read those words. What did they do? They went, I left the words. And they threw the keys to Shemayim. Okay, they took the keys and they threw them to Shemayim. Now, by the way, we're coming soon to the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, and we say in Musaf, we say, the Ein Anachnu Yecholim La'alois What do those words mean? We're going to say this every day for 8 days on Pesach. We cannot do the service in the Beis HaMikdash mipnei hayod, the hand, shenishtalcha, that has been extended b'mikdashecha. So everyone knows what a simple translation means, because the hand of the enemy has entered and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Today, we are unable to offer korbanos because the enemy has penetrated. They have extended their hand. But there's a very beautiful drush to what these words mean based upon the words of the Gemara that we just read. Do you know why we can no longer offer korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash? It's mibnei hayod, the hand of the Kohanim, shenishtalcha, that has been extended b'mikdashecha, in your Mikdash, referring to what the Kohanim did. When the Bayis was about to be destroyed, they said, Hashem, don't let the enemy destroy the Beis HaMikdash. We are returning the keys to you. They took the keys in their hand. The Zorgon, they threw them klape maila. They threw them to Shemayim. Throwing the keys to Shemayim is the Yod shenishtalcha b'mikdashecha. Again, to review, the Pshuta Shel Mikra, the simple reading of the words of Musaf are, we are no longer able to offer korbanos today because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Why don't we have a Beis HaMikdash? Because the enemy has destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. The metaphor, the expression that we use to describe the enemy destroying the Beis HaMikdash is the Yod, b'bnei hayod, the hand of the enemy, shenishtalcha b'mikdashecha. The subject of the word Yod is the enemy. But the Darshanim understand these words to refer to this Gemara, where it says, shayinoidlin, the Kohanim took the keys in their hands. And what did they do? Vizorkin klape maila. And they threw it to heaven. Hashem, we're giving you back the keys. So the subject of the words of the Musaf, Mibnei Hayod, is the Yad of the Kohanim, Shenishtalcha.
It means the Yad of Hashem that was Makabalit.
Okay, I hear it's the same idea with this drush. Shenishtalcha b'mikdashecha. You are, I think the Gemara goes further into there was a yad that came out. I think you are correct. You say because it says that the Gemara goes further and says that a hand came out of Shemayim and accepted the keys. Very good. So that makes even more sense. Let's read further. Over here it says, then it goes for Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shnei Masa Shvatim, Hoyu Boichim, Vitzakim, Vesaiftim, V'Aimim. They also cried. And they said this very pasuk. So according to the Gemara, the pasuk that we learned today is a quotation. It's been plagiarized. It's been lifted from the mouths of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and the Yud Beis Shvatim. They are the ones who said these words. And Zechariah had insight, had special radio that picked up the frequency of what's going on in Shemayim, and he recorded what the Avos and the Yud Beis Shvatim said at this moment in time. Halel Barosh, Ki Nafal Eres, Asher Adirim, the Mighty Shudadu. Halel Barosh, Ki Nafal Eres, Ze Beis HaMikdash, Asher Adirim Shudadu, Ze Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yakov, V'Shneim, Asa Shvatim, the Adirim, Shudadu. So what does it mean? He's translating over here, according to the Gemara. The Gemara here is telling us about the word the Adirim. The translation of the word Adirim are the Ovois and the Yud Beis Shvatim. Shudadu here means they were crying. It doesn't mean it was destroyed. It means that they were emotionally crushed. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and the Yud Beis Shvatim were crushed. They were plundered. Until now, we've been translating these words to mean that the mighty Talmidei Chachamim, the mighty leaders, the military of the Jewish people have been decimated. They've been crushed. According to the Gemara, the subject of the word Adirim is the Ovos. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Yud Beis Shvatim, when they witnessed the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Shudadu, they were emotionally distraught to see this Mokoyim fall in the hands of our enemies. Next, let's finish. Then when it says, Helilu Alone Vashon, who is the Vashon? Doesn't mean a leader like we've been learning until now, but it means Moshe. Moshe is the Bashan. Ze Moshe Aaron Umiriam. That's what Bashan refers to. Ki Yorad Yar Habotzir. What is the Yar Habotzir? Ze Kodesh HaKodashim. Why would the Kodesh HaKodashim be called the Botzir? I don't know. I guess, you know, if we're going to follow the same approach we've learned until now, the word Botzir is rooted in the word Mivtzar. It's the Mivtzar of the Beis HaMikdash. Then when it says, Kol Yililas HaRoyim Ki Shududu Adartam, Ze Dovru Shloimoi, Shloimoi Benoi, Kol Shagas Gefidim Ki Shudad Goyin HaYardin, Ze Eliyohu VeElisha. Okay, so over here we have a whole, the Ishi HaTanach. It's a beautiful medrash. Beautiful medrash that takes all of the different items listed in this pasuk, which all of the commentators are struggling to identify who they are. And they all basically say the same thing. All different layers of leadership going from the top all the way down to the lay leadership, all the way down to the lowest levels. But according to the Medrash, we are referring specifically to different members of the Ishei HaTanach. And when they in Shemayim saw the Tsar, the Churban, they had enormous pain. They know what's going on upstairs. It's a very big question. Do they know what's going on upstairs? Do they know what is happening here to us in this world? So the Gemara says they do. How do they know? How do they know? They only know because people who die come give them a report. It doesn't really say too many anywhere in the Gemara explicitly that, you know, they're watching. They have a live feed. Do they have a live stream in Shemayim of what's taking place in this world? Do they have a window? They look out the window and they see what's going on? All the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah asks this question. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah asks, do the people in Shemayim really know what's going on in this world? Do they even care what's going on in this world? It seems they don't care. That's what the Gemara does think, they don't really care.
You say the pasuk to Rachel, min'i koylech mibechis. She obviously
right.
knew.
So,
and that's what.
So why didn't the Gemara quote that pasuk? The Gemara basically says in the Rosh Hashanah, it's pretty clear, they don't. They do not have a live stream. You may go to Yeshiva World News and watch a live stream of some event taking place, but they don't have a live stream in Shemayim of watching what's taking place in this world. How do they know? They read newspapers. What newspapers? People die and come there. And tell them. They tell them.
If you go back to the Purim story, when Klal Yisrael is in great danger, Eliyahu HaNavi is running around. Everybody in Shemayim said, "Don't you know what's going on here?" And he has to tell them what's going on. But aren't you going to do anything about it? And so on. But he's first in
informing them.
He's first informing.
Informing them, right? So over here, right? So Mordechai is asking a question, but it says that Rachel Mavakal Boneha. Chazal said, why was Rachel buried on the road? So when the Klal Yisrael, when they go into Golos, they'll pass by her grave. Why do they need to pass by her grave to daven? She knows what's going on. In Shemayim, doesn't she have a window? It almost seems like, no, she doesn't know what's going on. And Hashem arranged that when we'll go into Golos, we'll pass by her grave and we'll cry by her grave to tell her. When you cry by her grave, in essence, you're telling her what's going on. And then she'll cry. And then Hashem will say, okay, on the other hand, there are other Mamari Chazal, like over here, it seems to indicate that Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and the Yud Beis Shvatim, Elio and Elisha, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, they have a live feed. They do know what's going on. So what's the simple answer? Select individuals have a live feed. Special people have special access. Okay, special people. But the average person doesn't have access. The average person only finds out second hand, third hand. But Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, Eliyahu and Elisha, and the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov,
they, we find by them, maybe they actually have an open window and can see what's taking place in this world. Let's finish up. We have to go further. Kevon Shira. He took off his tefillin. That's why we do not wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av. This is the Makar. We do not wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av in the morning because of Yochanan ben Zakkai, who took off his tefillin when he heard the bad news that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. For Yoyish Rebocha, the Talmud of Yoimo, the Yeshem, some say, Af Avram Yitzchak Yaakov HaYoimoyim, Shnemar Hilal Beresh, this is the same, this Medrash is very similar, we're going to dash in each word in reference to one of the Yishei Tanakh. Ze Avram, Shekim Es HaMitzvos, Beresh, why is Avram called Beresh? Beresh means a certain type of tree, it's a drush. Don't read it Beresh without an Aleph, insert the Aleph, Rosh. Avram was the first one to recognize Hashem. Ki Nafal Erez, Ze Tzidkiyo HaMelech Yehuda, Asher, that's Tzidkiyo, and he was alive. I mean, that was the Bayis Rishon. If this referring to the Bayis, this that he died because he lived in the Bayis, the end of the Bayis Rishon, and now he's being informed of the Bayis Sheni. Tzidkiyo, Asher Adidim Shudadu Elu Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Hililu Alon Nivashne Elu Choyre Yehuda Uvinyamin. The free men. Choyre means the free men of Yehuda and Binyamin. Not the choyre, the free men, but the great ones of Yudav and Yamin. All right, that concludes the Mori Chazal. And in Yirtz Hashem on Monday, we're going to go further. We're going to go to the next psukim. We've done with five passes through the section. We're going to start something new in Yirtz Hashem on Monday. Take a very short break. When we'll chumash. Oh, it's so late. Can't believe this. We have to be makatzer. I didn't realize how late it is. Okay, we'll makatzer a little bit. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Hi, Mayaski. I want you to say.